will you do when the sea comes back? What if there's nowhere you're moving back? What when your face falls apart? Have you got enough time?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange, hosted by Vance Pollock.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight into the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual and we don't just discuss it, we go into the field to investigate. I'm your host, Vance Pollock. Joshua P. Warren, Speaking of Strange, in the studio tonight. It's a regular party around here, and the boys are now matched by the ladies in the studio. Shelley is the minority in here so often, but she's got a friend over there, also a friend of the show. I introduced her to Sam earlier as one of the JPW Orbit, because there are these several dozen people around Asheville who have followed Joshua P. Warren, and you bump into them when you're a friend of Josh for some years. Missy Hill, how are you doing, Missy?
I'm doing great, Vance.
I invited you on the show specifically. You sent me a message after the show a couple weeks ago that the stories about Mississippi ghosts resonated with you. And I don't think Shelley has even gotten the details on this, but basically, Shelley and I have agreed, because we keep seeing recurring instances of ghosts with connections to Mississippi, the Tallahatchie River or Tupelo or, you know, the Delta, showing up again and again, just little hints, little clues. And I like the way you described them as dots. You say you like to collect dots, and in this message to me, you said what especially gave you chills was when I started talking about Buck Springs Lodge, which basically the ruins of the Vanderbilt Lodge up there near Mount Pisgah, right off the parkway. You have you had an encounter at Buck Spring Lodge, is that right?
Yes, I did, and that was back in 2012. It seems like a lot of weirdness happened in 2012.
Right. Maybe the end of the world didn't come, but maybe there was a paradigm shift.
I agree.
2012 seemed pretty special. I was talking to Shelley that week about how I had scattered some ashes for the widow of my brother's neighbor. I know we had gone down for spring break that year, and I had come back from spring break. So it was around this time of year that I went up there and scattered those ashes. And you know that it was somewhere around Mother's Day that you were up at Pisgah Inn for dinner, and your grandmother was there. Is that right?
Right, and this was during 2012, so it was the last year my grandmother was alive, because she passed in 2013. Interestingly enough, her name was Roberta, but she went by Bobby. And remember the song that you played?
Sure, Bobby Gentry's Ode to Billy Joe. Yeah.
Right, so I'm getting chills again. So Ron and I, after dinner, we took a hike up there, and we went to the Overlook. Well, coming back from the Overlook, I actually felt like I was shoved by something that I did not see, and I ended up on the ground, and I twisted my ankle. And I knew it was some kind of ghost thing, but I didn't know the story of anything. And then when I happened to hear the story, it reminded me of about 6 weeks ago on a Friday night. Some friends of mine asked me to go eat dinner at Tupelo Honey, and I'd never been to Tupelo Honey, and I wanted to have a get together, and I said sure, why not. So after the dinner in the car, I put on 88.7 because that's what I usually will listen to if I don't pop a CD in my, you know, in the CD player. And there was a band called Tupelo, Uncle Tupelo.
Right.
So I was paying attention. I said, okay, this is interesting. I was just at Tupelo Honey, and now I hear Uncle Tupelo. Now, what am I supposed to be paying attention to? And the other piece that came in was hearing about a tornado from, I think it was 1936 that hit Tupelo, Mississippi.
Oh, that's interesting. And we were telling the story about Robert Johnson. One of the stories about the Roadhouse where Robert Johnson was playing around the time that he contracted the illness that resulted in his death. Again, I have to keep introducing him to people because I assume they know him, but he is in some regards the king of the Delta Blues, or the king, the grandfather of rock and roll guitar, because so many of the influential rock guitar players, especially along in the 60s, Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page, these guys were very inspired by these American blues players, early slide guitarists, and Robert Johnson's name looms large. And he was kind of a minor figure in his lifetime, but after his very premature death, I'm talking 25, 30 years later, he was rediscovered and celebrated so that his estate is worth millions of dollars today, which I think probably he's sitting somewhere laughing at that because he just lived kind of a rough existence. Sam actually got into the last week when we were talking about Robert Johnson, and the parallel here is that there was a hurricane that destroyed that roadhouse just outside Greenwood, Mississippi. That was 1940 or 42, I believe. But anyway, those Mississippi hurricanes, there's a connection there. But you were saying last week that I wouldn't know if it was exactly took issue, but I was having a hard time finding the vocabulary to express the fact that Robert Johnson was... he was well manicured when it came down to it. Finally, I mean, he dressed sharp.
Yeah, yeah.
He dressed sharp, and he knew how to spend money, and he was a pretty clever fella. I mean, Terraplane Blues is kind of like a
hybrid of jazz.
It's even the subject matter. Terraplane was kind of a hot car in those days, you know, that could do 70 miles an hour. That was pretty impressive in 1936. But what I was on about, I think I may have left
primal,
some list. That was the term. I think I may have left some listeners with the idea that Robert Johnson's music wasn't primal. He, as a person, wasn't just some sort of primitive.
No.
I mean, like in what's the Burt Reynolds movie, Squeal Like a Pig?
Deliverance,
right. In Deliverance, there's that blind banjo player sitting on the porch. And in a lot of ways, popular culture wants to portray these blues men as almost mentally deficient, you know.
I think where I was coming from was more just primitive as in... our ears today. It's very raw, and that could be due to the recording available
right.
At the time.
I would say blues are very earthy.
Yeah, I mean, it's
very earthy roots music. They express a lot of things that you have to have lived hard to do that.
Yeah.
Much as Hank Williams Jr. or Hank Williams Sr. said about...
deceptively simple.
About country music, or honky-tonk music, if you want to play real honky-tonk music, you have to have smelled a whole lot of mule droppings. anyway, the Mississippi stuff is going to keep coming around and around, and Missy is here to talk Mississippi, among other things, tonight. You were had a little testimony about Joshua's Parasymatics.
Oh,
you
want to
mention that?
Yes.
Josh, Shelley said she listened to the Fate magazine radio show Josh did with me the other week. And that Paracymatics, you get it now, right, Shelley?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a great interview, by the way.
Right. Paracymatics is Joshua's new paranormal science, whereby he uses sound vibrations to create an image. Cymatics is the science of creating, like, these models. Josh describes them as even 3D models that you can create with sound waves. And Josh is using, like, a mantra or a tone associated with the appearance of ghosts or prosperity or well-being or romance or whatever it is. Josh is creating these audio tones and using cymatics to visualize what he describes as sigils, magic signs. And Josh's paracymatic sigils, he had just introduced those at the time, I think you were saying, and there was a prosperity one or a good luck money sigil.
That's right. I just came back from the Intuition Cruise, which left out of Fort Lauderdale and went into Cozumel and Costa Maya and Grand Cayman. And I had contacted Josh before I left to see if I could get one to bring in UFO activity, to be able to see some UFOs. And he said, no, that's not available yet, but why don't you take the ghost one? So I had all three of them printed up because I figured I might, you know, bring it into my presentation or the people that I was going to be doing the night vision with, that I would actually, you know, pass those little copies out, because that's what I did. I made a few of them to bring on the cruise. Well, unfortunately, when they book these cruises, they always do it around a full moon. And you know, when you're doing night vision, you really need a moonless night.
Right.
So between the ambient light from the ship, which it seemed almost like a Disney cruise in a way, I think, I hope Royal Caribbean and Carnival haven't merged together. Because that's kind of what it felt like on the Freedom of the Seas. Although it was a beautiful ship, it just wasn't as nice as the Oasis. I mean, the gym was really nice. The spa was nice because I did have a pedicure and facial massage. That ended up being really nice. And certain things. Sounds like we're in for a break. And
we're gonna
finish.
Right.
Yeah.
We give ourselves about a minute warning when we're rolling up on the break. But anyway, you set the stage. You're on the cruise. You've got Joshua's paracymatic sigils to share with your friends and fellow travelers. And yeah. We'll pick that up when we come back from the break. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Welcome back. Joshua P. Warren speaking of strange. You'll always want to drop by joshuapwarren.com. Is there a period after the P, guys?
No.
joshuapwarren.com. to see what the madman himself is up to these days. And you'll find the links to the Paracymatics project. He has just revealed, I don't know, maybe a dozen additional sigils in the last week or so. There's some interesting ones. He, after his appearance on Coast to Coast, he was, he got such a deluge of emails, dozens and dozens of emails, requesting additional sigils. And, so he has, whipped up a new batch of sigils, and that one does have a UFO contact.
He just sent me the UFO one after the fact, and, what's funny is I sent him an email because I thought he'd think this was funny. The best place to do night vision was outside the casino on the fourth floor near the smoking section. It wasn't dark on the ship anywhere except for we did have a couple private rooms. Normally we get a balcony room, and that didn't happen this time for whatever reason. However, that sigil, I felt, was almost like, even though it was to bring in ghosts, I think because this was a psychic cruise, it actually helped me neutralize some of the energy that was flying off of people. The best neutralization was going swimming in the salt. However, it wasn't about the paranormal and UFO phenomena. What came about was winnings for a friend of mine. I had the money sigil and I showed it to her. She didn't pay much attention, but I just kept saying, after 36 hours of no sleep, because this trip was, it was nuts. Let me preface it by saying that. Do you remember when Delta canceled all those flights? There was 7,000 flights from Delta that were canceled, and not knowing what the hell's going on, we had to go out of Greenville, Spartanburg in the middle of the night instead of Asheville. Asheville's like the redheaded stepchild. No, I didn't mean that.
Shelley is giving it Missy a look. What? Yeah,
you know what I mean. You've heard that expression where,
right.
I mean, when we visited Joshua in Puerto Rico, we had to actually drive back from Charlotte because it was on Labor Day. They would not allow us, you know, they canceled the flight, so we had to rent a car. And we couldn't fly into Asheville. So this has happened a few times, so I'm just kind of making
right.
a joke.
Sometimes getting a direct flight in or out of Asheville is tricky. My father-in-law was staying with us one time and was running short on some medication that he needed daily. And his flight was, he needed to make it back to Boston to catch a connecting flight, and Asheville canceled that flight like a couple days out, and Charlotte didn't have one. I ended up having to drive them to Raleigh-Durham. So going to Greenville-Spartanburg is only like, what, an hour and a
yeah,
half.
Yeah, but not knowing what was going on, I didn't get any right. sleep. So by the time I got there, I was up for 36 hours. I had to give my presentation, was wiped out. But I was thinking about, I have to do this experiment in the casino, and I wanted to follow all Joshua's list of rules because he has certain, it's like a class almost, where, you know, you bid, you always bet cash, you always get on a machine that's visible. You always bet the max. But this casino, the way it was laid out, it didn't follow any of those rules. But my friend went around and she happened to find a kitty cat machine. Shelley, you'd love this. It was really cute with this white Persian cat. And she said, I think this machine's hot. I kept getting distracted. I didn't have the time to do it. And I had my mindset I was going to play that machine. And I kept meditating with the sigil. However, she got on the machine first. She put a dollar in, and she won $251.30.
Yay.
I knew we were done at this point because I just put a dollar in this rooster machine, you know, because we have a rooster. So I figure, and then she lost 20 bucks in other things. We were looking for other hot machines, but I knew when she won that, I said, well, I know why she did this, because I would have been too attached to the outcome. Not that I would have been attached to the money, but because this is an experiment. By God, I want this to work, you know, so I have news to tell. But, you know, I think she was in the field of that sigil. She just looked at it, and I was the one that was like holding the energy of this sigil, the one that wanted to conduct this experiment. And she just did it, and with no mental anything, just from her heart wanting to do this, and she won.
That's pretty good. There's another testimonial, and Josh gets them all the time. He says he gets emails from people that have had results with the sigils, and they're free. Go to joshuapwarren.com. I think the link will redirect you to his website, freecharm.com. Anyway, he's got the sigils out there, a whole series of them for different purposes.
Now, you know I'm going to be going on another cruise, and this is the same cruise that when Joshua was on the conspiracy cruise and he did his wishing machine, you know, he did a talk about what was it? Psionics or something. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but that's going to be in November. It is called the, and I'll be doing night vision on that. It's called Ancient Mysteries Revealed, and it's on the Ruby Princess, and it goes from 11/11 to November 18th. So I thought people should know about that, and that ship's laid out better.
Okay. And the people that are organizing that one are the folks that did the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I heard that the conspiracy cruise was well attended and that people enjoyed that one. Again, this cruise on November 11th, what's it called? The Ancient Mysteries?
Yes, the Ancient Mysteries Revealed, and even Robert Bavall's going to be on it, and Brian Forrester. I thought Linda Moulton Howe was going to be on it, but now I didn't see her name. It seems like they don't have it all ironed out who's going to be on it, but I will be a presenter of Night Vision UFO Skywatch.
Well, that sounds
and
great.
I'll have the sigil now, and but I don't know what the moon is. I haven't looked at that, and they really need to put something over that, you know,
right.
Kind of like in the Truman Show. But now, this is a weird thing as far as what I did see. I've been seeing stars behave in a manner that stars don't behave. It almost looks like what I call cell division. So this makes me question, are these even stars? It looks like the Truman Show in a way. Now, nothing too weird on this cruise. Now, on the last cruise, which was the one before this. I'm trying to think what the name of that one was. It'll come to me. Last October, I actually, when we were near Guantanamo, because it was after that hurricane, I think it was Hurricane Francis or Hurricane something that hit the Bahamas.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually the leftovers of that hurricane were still there when we went to Nassau. And we had to really get close to the interior islands. You know, I could see when we were near Puerto Rico because I was watching the GPS in our room all the time.
Right.
Now, when we were near Guantanamo, one night I was doing night vision. This was a fabulous night. I actually saw something that looked like a triangle giving birth to three other craft. Like shooting out from, and I say giving birth because I have no other way to explain it, you know, but I'm sure that was what you would think of as the secret space program.
That's pretty intense. That's what you were talking about. When Joshua got into the night, the sky watching, the night vision, paratemporal night vision, and he and several of our associates started watching the skies very closely, they got in touch with I think Josh went out in the desert with Jim Moseley, wasn't it? The late Jim Moseley. Anyway, Jim Moseley was a ufologist going way back. He knew a lot of the original first wave of contactees and flying saucer watchers from back in the 50s and 60s. And Jim Moseley took Joshua out in the desert. Were they in New Mexico or Arizona? I can't remember. But he described some very intense things going on in the sky that looked like battles, you know, battles in the sky. So
I could have possibly have seen that around Mount Pisgah, not far from Buck Springs, back in probably it would have been like September or October of 2009. I'm not sure. Because there was also lightning, but I mean, I've seen some pretty weird stuff, and it seems like it comes in waves, you know. Now, speaking of stars, I want to tell this story because I don't think this has ever been told on Speaking of Strange about Ursa Major. And the reason I'm thinking of it, because again, Mother's Day is coming up, and, you know, we're in what's called the electrical peak as far as, you know, the energy coming off the sun, and the Ursa Major is the big bear. And I remember on Mother's Day on the Parkway seeing a bunch of bears, but I know we're coming up for a break, and I can bring that story in after the break.
There's that correlation. Let's talk a little more about that. Our friend Missy Hill's here in the studio with us tonight on Joshua P. Warren Speaking of Strange. Hang on, we'll be right back. Speaking of strange, I'm Vance Pollock. I'm in the studio with Shelley Wright, Investigator Shelley Wright. How are you, Shelley?
Great. How are you?
Doing good. We've been letting Missy talk a little bit, so you're having a break from the microphone. We rely on Shelley Wright for color commentary here. And, of course, Sam, the Animal Steel, and our special guest, our friend, Missy Hill, tonight. She's catching us up on some things going on. Missy, you've been doing a little bit of radio, right?
Yes.
You're doing a podcast. Is that a regular scheduled thing, or is it just kind of like when you feel like
it's
it?
It's regular when I feel like it. I mean, it's regular for a while, and then I went on that cruise, and then, you know, I took a few weeks off, but I actually have a show tomorrow night, and the guy's name is Cullen Smith, and this guy's great because he's an etymologist. He gets into the science of words and even things like the weekdays. Are you week of days? And why do more people have heart attacks on a Monday morning where you're mourning from the dead? And are you awake? Awake?
I'm all about
and maritime law and all kinds of stuff.
I'm all about some etymology. I like the science of words, the study of words. We're kind of literary around here. I was telling somebody in a conversation about the new direction for Speaking of Strange, and just out of habit, and this is really what sealed the deal. This is what got Missy Hill invited on the show, everybody. She complimented me on the music. She said, by the way, great music on the show, and that's all you got to do. You just got to appeal to my music, my love for surf rock and garage rock. And so, if you compliment my music on,
we both
Speaking
like
of Strange,
Southern culture on the skids.
That's you can't plug Southern culture on the skids too much. I've seen those guys probably 20 times. I started seeing them back in the early 90s down in Florida. I've seen them up here a dozen times. Southern culture on the skids. Yeah. You're right. They're great. We got a couple spots the third hour. Maybe we'll play a Southern Culture on the Skids song. There's one written about an incident here in Asheville. Cheap motels. It was actually an experience they had at the downtowner over on Patton Avenue. The line particularly about walking out naked by the ice machine, that's from an incident that happened right here in Asheville. So there's the Southern culture on the, well, they got a lot of friends up here in the mountains. And if you've ever seen Southern culture on the skids or heard Southern culture on the skids, you know that the mountain music heritage and tradition is strong with this one. as they say, Southern Culture on the Skids. Yeah, great, great group. But yeah, with me at the helm, we always have to spend a few minutes dropping music trivia. And people who are used to Joshua P. Warren at the helm aren't, I mean, this is a new thing to them. So I hear positive feedback about it. I hear through the grapevine that other people are kind of cranky about it. But humor me. Humor me a little music
people
trivia.
People are cranky about your music? What's up with that?
Well, about the music trivia, about spending too much time talking. Like, kind of like we're doing right now. We're talking about music.
See, I am learning a lot.
Well, good. So, and I still owe you a mix CD or two, Shelley.
Yay.
Anyway, yeah, Missy Hill complimented me on my music. But before the break, we were talking about Ursula the Bear and how that played into some of your research and some of your sky watching. Missy, you want to get back to the bear?
I was on the Blue Ridge Parkway, the other side, not Buck Springs, but headed towards the Folk Art Museum around that area,
right.
And I happened to see some bears. Well, I just thought of that because that was actually on Mother's Day, and I was thinking of the, you know, the great mother bear, Ursa Major, right? Because one time when I was in the hot tub a few years back, this was not 2012, this was probably, this could have been 2013. I was not using the night vision because you can't use night vision in the hot tub because you'd wreck it, obviously.
Right.
But I'm looking up and the sky's completely clear. There's nothing in front of Ursa Major, and all of a sudden I see four of the stars just disappear. It was a clear night. There was nothing in front of it. So I grab my phone and I look, you know, because I've got Google Sky Map on my phone, and everything was screwed up as far as the horizon and where Polaris was supposed to be. It was Lyra and Vega. Well, that got me wondering. That's when it really came to me, the movie The Matrix, back in 2013, I think this was, clicked. Like, you know, we've heard of the holographic universe. Are we actually in a matrix? Is this like a planetarium? You know, we're told these are stars, we're told this is something, but why would it just disappear? Was I looking at another timeline? Then it corrected and it was there, but it was weird because it wasn't, I mean, to me it looked like it was actually gone. So I was thinking, is this like the Truman Show? Are we in a holographic matrix of fractals? You know, I mean, I wasn't using those words back then, but that seems to be, you're hearing that all the time. Even science is saying now, is this, you know, holographic matrix of fractals and the Fibonacci sequence and all this stuff, and all that ties into the paracymatics too, because
right.
then you
well,
can have
well,
a predictable outcome of certain things.
More and more I hear of people observing anomalies within what they assumed or presumed were scientific constants, you know, laws. You can't mess with this, but then something is a little askew or anomalous.
And on that last cruise into Spirit, you know, where we saw the, you know, triangle craft that I told you that was near Guantanamo, there was some weird phenomena with the lightning. We had a lot of bad weather on that trip, you know, like tonight. I was going to bring night vision up here because, you know, back in 2009 when Josh had his night vision event, it was off the charts amazing. That's why I decided to buy night vision, was because of the night at the studio here when he brought Ed Grimsley and Dean Worsing here to do a night vision event. Not every night was perfect for night vision. However, there was some things that happened with lightning that were off the chart weird. I came up with a new terminology. Instead of UFO, unidentified flying object, I came up with the word UFI, which is the unidentified field of information, which becomes identified when you can use the night sky as actually a scrying or dowsing tool, like asking the lightning questions and it would respond. I'd get a yes and a no from the lightning. It was amazing.
Wow. So the terminology you use, unidentified field of information?
Yes, because everything's information.
I like that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at the sky like a canvas or a screen or broadcast, and I've heard people talking about communicating with UFOs in that way, telepathically, that they can
just flashed outside.
We got a flash outside just as we're talking about this. Right out back here, Shelley, we've seen some strange things when we'd take a break in between segments and stand outside for a minute.
Mm-hmm, we really have.
There's some bizarre things that happen in the sky around the studio. Maybe it's attracted to what we're doing in here late at night.
People are talking about the plasma field lately, you know, because if everything's waves and particles, you know, you keep hearing about that and something about that plasma. So that's the lightning.
Yeah, right. Joshua P. Warren has done a lot of plasma research. Of course, the Brown Mountain Lights research. Google Joshua P. Warren in connection with just about any anomalous event, and you'll find that he's discussed it or researched it or written on the topic. And he's been writing and researching on these topics for 20 years. So he's the man to watch. JoshuaPWarren.com, of course, the website.
He's got a fabulous retreat coming up.
Limited to 10 people down in Puerto Rico.
Oh my, that looks so fun.
Are you going?
I can't go. I'd love to go. I can't right now, though.
Oh, you should.
Oh, no.
Dr. Mulder.
Yeah.
Dr. Mulder's going to be there? Is he going to do like a wishing machine workshop on the retreat?
He is. And Sentero Longley.
He'll
be there, too.
Yep.
You know both of them.
It'll be fun. Right. Well, I actually had an offer to go to Contact in the Desert recently. And the reason, part of why I'm not going, I spent $1,300 and whatever on a pressure tank under the house last week. Plumbing.
I feel your pain. I had problems with my well.
Water and wells and plumbing has been
Unexpected
Mercury.
Bills can get in the way of plans and trips and things like that. But some lucky listener out there is going to hear about that limited retreat. It's I think ten people invited.
Good fortune
to the Joshua P. Warren retreat in Puerto Rico, and you can look for that on the website joshuapwarren.com.
And the classes are going to be at Barrachina's, where the original piña colada was invented. Doesn't that sound fun?
That's special.
Oh, I've been there.
Me too.
Yes.
Isn't it good?
Oh, it was very good.
With a little umbrella and everything.
Oh, you got to have the umbrella.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Joshua has to introduce you to a little bit of drinking culture if you're going to spend any time with him. Anyone who's hung around with Josh knows a little bit about that. He likes to drop that bit of trivia about the term alcohol being based on the term Al Ghul.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
We'll be talking about that tomorrow night on my show, too.
Alcohol and ghouls stem from the same root word. So, let's talk to Missy when we come back from the break a little bit more about her podcast and pin down where people can hear that. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. We'll be right back.
And back to Missy.
Welcome back. Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Vance Pollack. Shelley, are you ready with that bell over there, dear?
I'm ready.
Heavy lifting. Man named Barefoot stole forklift because it beat walking, cops say, in Daytona Beach, Florida. Comedian steals forklift. A gentleman whose surname was Barefoot got off on the wrong foot. He's accused of swiping an 11-ton forklift behind a store, using it to move boxes left outside to a nearby parking lot, and then going on a joyride, police said. When Daytona Beach cops stopped Barefoot, who obviously found hoofing it unpalatable as he drove around on a forklift at 4 a.m. with no lights on, he allegedly told them he wanted to drive because it was better than walking and he just needed a lift. And then said he did get a lift. So the officers, who did not laugh, gave him a lift all right to jail. That's from the Sun Sentinel. Hmm. Yeah. I have some parallels. Not a pizza parallel, but I used to work in a warehouse environment, and I had a friend who got drunk at a party next door to the warehouse and just drove the forklift home.
I know you like pizza. Have you ever been to Blaze Pizza? Have you guys ever checked out Blaze yet?
I don't even know.
In Arden?
Yeah.
It's like the Chipotle. This is a free advertisement for them. Listen to this. It's like the Chipotle of pizza. This place is awesome. And you can get a gluten-free crust if you want, which I've gotten. It's on rice flour. And they have vegan cheese, and they have regular cheese, and they have even dollops of ricotta cheese, and they have goat cheese, and feta, and sun-dried tomatoes, and Kalamata olives, and basil, and pesto
drizzle. Blaze Pizza. Send some coupons, send some vouchers to Missy Hill for plugging your business. Well, but yeah, I she's sitting here just sincerely telling us that Blaze Pizza is good stuff. Yeah, we can't get enough pizza content here on Speaking of Strange.
What was our song?
Pizza Parallels.
I forget the tune.
I forget.
Yeah, I'll have to pull that
up. It was just some random Pizza Parallels.
Yeah, we can make up a new jingle. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can make up a new jingle every week.
Every week.
For Pizza Parallels. Yeah, so you've done that, the podcast about the etymology, science of words. Who's the guest for that show again?
His name's Cullen Smith.
Okay, Cullen
Smith.
Cullen Smith.
He's a wordsmith.
If people look up Missy Hill, what do you call your show? The Missy Hill Show?
Yeah, it is actually the Missy Hill Show. It's on Greenheart Radio now. It used to be Galactic Earth Fusion, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. However, we're probably going to move to Zoom.
Okay.
We're going to start
blog
Zooming.
Talk Radio, but if people Google Missy Hill Radio and look for that Blog Talk Radio result.
Joshua was on recently.
About, very cool.
And Tim Beckley was on, too. I had Tim Beckley on with Joshua Shapiro, and then the following week I had Joshua P. Warren, and he was talking about all, you know, the paracymatics and wishing machines and using the Force, and we had a great time.
Yeah, so people just Google the Missy Hill Show, and you'll find her,
mm-hmm.
And I want to check out that Cullen Smith show.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like some good stuff, maybe some deep stuff. Etymology is not everybody's cup of tea, but I like that. I also like to draw comparisons between folk stories, folklore, and legends and things like that. As a matter of fact, I'm reading a book right now about the historical versus the mythological King Arthur.
There's, ooh, I'd love
I mean,
that.
Very, very sparse evidence of the historical Arthur. He probably wasn't a king in any sense. He was more of a soldier or a warrior. But over the centuries, someone who was I shouldn't say he was a minor figure. He was like a folk hero, kind of like a Robin Hood character. You know, develops this mythos, this mythology, and become legendary. And I kind of I think that we still spawn legends, even if on a smaller scale. Maybe next hour we'll talk about one of my favorite local legends, Sheriff Lyerly.
Because
his legend is growing. The folklore of the 20th century and the 21st century is going to include the name of Sheriff John Lyerly. And it's because of events that happened right here in Asheville under the IS of one Joshua P. Warren.
And so we have synchronistic dots to connect with Lyerly, and also, as far as King Arthur goes, where did I buy my King Arthur card, Shelley Wright?
Oh, I believe you bought it from me at Nevermore.
Yes, I did.
Nevermore Mystical Arts has got King Arthur tarot cards?
Got all kinds Camelot of fabulous
cards.
Stuff.
All
come
right.
And check me out.
Yeah. Go check Shelley out at Nevermore Mystical Arts.
12. Okay, my stuff. Check my stuff out.
Right.
My merchandise.
And Shelley, too. I mean, sit, park across the street with binoculars and watch Shelley at Nevermore Mystical Arts. No, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. Man, first hour's flown by. Having a good time here with the usual gang, plus our friend Missy Hill. Let's talk about Sheriff Lyerly next hour. We'll be right back.